hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be praising him. We're going to be worshiping him. We're going to be glowing in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Praise God. You may be seated for a moment. Just wanted to make one mention of camp, and I was kind of kidding around this morning, but I shouldn't probably have sounded negative. I've been going to the Wisconsin District Camp for 31 years, been to every one of them in the last 31 years. Some were hot, some were cold, but they've all been a great blessing to anybody that is able to get up there. You will definitely be blessed in spite of the heat, because when you make the effort, God has sent these men and sometimes women to the district with prophetic utterances. They have come with a message from God. So if you can't make it to the camp, please at least get a tape so you might be able to share what God is doing. Praise the name of the Lord. We want to turn in our Bibles to Romans, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse. The title of my message is The Power of Being Fully. Everybody say fully. Fully persuaded. Praise God. Most of us are familiar with this story. Paul's talking about Abraham and talking about his great faith. Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Praise God. Keep in mind, that was prophetic. He had spoken as if it was already there and come to pass. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. As you know, Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah was about 90. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And verse 21, and being fully persuaded, this is the essence of my message, being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Praise God. How many of you ever been persuaded to do something that wasn't too smart? I could sit up here for the next 2 hours. I could tell you about the time I took my 30-ton tank down the Mount Fuji in Japan. And it was not a pretty thing because you're not supposed to have a tank up that high, number one. Number two, I was persuaded to believe that, so what's the big deal? I can drive down without a problem. Well, the problem was gravity, one of God's great inventions. Before I knew it, my tank was going so fast, I could not stop. And I became going fast. Tanks are not designed to go much over 25 or 30 miles an hour. Anything over that, it's momentum. The big mo gets you, and it's not good. But I was persuaded it was no problem. Wrong, wrong, wrong. By the time I got down to the end, I was going close to 50 and was making curves, sliding into them. That's not an easy thing to do with a tank. It's a cross-drive transmission. So 80% of the brakes are turning left, turning right. And I wasn't turning. I was sliding. It was not good. And finally got all the way to the end, and I was persuaded I could make this last turn, no problem, but I realized that I couldn't. It was almost a 90-degree turn. Suddenly I was, you ever been in a flying tank? It's pretty crazy, but I'm thinking, well, this isn't so bad. And I looked, and I realized that I was flying over a rice field. And next thing I knew, the tank was buried almost up to the wheel level there, and needless to say, my commanding officer had a few choice things to tell me. And so I've done some things like this that, you know, you just want to kind of forget that you were persuaded to do some things. And I know some of you have done that. I was persuaded to leave my car in Roy's driveway the other day. And I thought, well, I'm on an incline here. The car won't go anyplace. I didn't even think that. I just went out and used the restroom. And I come back, and my car's it's in his garage. I said, Roy, why'd you put the car in the garage? He says, I didn't. He said, you didn't put it in park. And I was working on my tracker, and I looked up, and I saw, here comes your vehicle into my garage. And Roy was persuaded he could stop the car. But he couldn't. Kind of like my tank. Big Mo had him. And anyway, my truck hit the front of his trailer, which took and drove the tongue of his trailer through his rear door. Was not a good scene. So far, the damages are $350 or something. So I'm paying for being persuaded sometimes. Praise God. But, you know, in this scripture here, we want to turn your attention to being fully persuaded. Now, the Greek word for this phrase means to carry out fully with evidence. So when Paul was talking that Abram was fully persuaded, he was simply stating that Abram, he had no doubt in his heart that God was able to perform that which he promised. And tonight we're preaching about the power of being fully persuaded. You know, when you read through the life of Abraham, you don't see, at least I don't see, at the beginning of his life, too much to be, you know, he did a lot of things that I probably would have done. You know, God told him to get out of Ur of Chaldees and just go with him and Sarah and his shepherds and so on. And he decides to take his nephew Lot. So there he goes, already disobeying God. He gets down into Egypt, and they stop him. And his wife Sarah was very beautiful. So next thing you know, he's lying to the Pharaoh. He said, oh, this is my sister. So the Pharaoh takes her into his house, like they do evidently in those days. And he was going to take her as his wife. And, of course, God came to him as a dream. And he said, when Pharaoh realized what he had done, he said, why did you lie to me? Why did you put me in these circumstances? Well, Abram was afraid. It doesn't sound like a great man of faith to me. But, you know, as his life progressed, he lied to King Abimelech. He told Abimelech the same story he told the Pharaoh, praise God. And that in years later, things didn't seem to pan out the way God had told him, and he decided to take situation in his own hands. He was getting up in age and decided he was going to father a child through Sarah's handmaiden Hagar. Keep in mind, though, Abram was about 75 years old when God called him, and he was about close to 100 years old when Sarah bore Isaac. So it took God about 25 years for him to get Abraham to be fully persuaded. And sometimes because of our stubbornness, or sometimes it's just a dimension at a time that God can actually move no faster than the faith that we make available to him. Praise God. And it wasn't until Abram and Sarah had conceived and they had a son named Isaac that Abraham's faith then came to fruition. Praise God. In Genesis 22:16, when God had called Abraham to take his only son up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him, he didn't hesitate. He was fully persuaded, the Bible says. Genesis 22:16, and he said, if by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars in heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies. And then if we turn to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the writer of Hebrews tells us that the rest of the story, Hebrews 11:17, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, in accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead. from whence he received him in a figure. As you look through the Old Testament in particular, you see that most of the great men of God, it took them a while to get fully persuaded. Most of you know the story of Moses being called of God and all of the people that he was brought up with. Moses was 80 years old when he finally was fully persuaded that he was to be the one that was to call and to deliver the people from the bondage in Egypt. Praise God. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? God tells us to do something, and we laugh like Abram and Sarah. You got to be kidding me. I could never do that. You're not fully persuaded. And it took Moses was 80 years old before he was fully persuaded. We know that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into captivity. But he was 30 years old before he was really fully persuaded that his destiny came to pass. It's estimated that Daniel was 90 years old. Praise God. That's 8 years younger than Brother Manley when he was cast into the lion's den. But see, when Daniel was cast in there, he was fully persuaded. Praise God. He understood what was the plan of God, and he believed God. And when he came into the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. This is the king. And the king spoke to Daniel and said, O Daniel, servant of the Most High God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. And of course, the response from Daniel was, he is able, O king. And he went on to tell him other things. David was anointed king of Israel by Samuel when he was just a small teenage boy, but it was years of trials and victories and some defeats before he was fully persuaded and was ready to be an anointed king. But I'm here to proclaim to you tonight that you don't have to wait until you're 90 years old to be fully persuaded. I said, you don't have to wait. You can leave this building tonight fully persuaded. You can be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I received the Holy Ghost 32 years ago, suddenly I believed that there was a God and that God lived inside of me, and the things that were held me in bondage were destroyed. I was persuaded, perhaps not fully persuaded, but it put me on a track to go to the place that I needed to go. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I think what our problem is in 2012, it's not that we don't believe that God can do things. We believe that. Well, the problem that we seem to have is that we don't believe that God can do it through us. We don't understand that the tables have been changed, so to speak. We need to be persuaded. According to the scripture, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. We need to understand that Jesus made the statement, greater things than these shall ye do. Ye means you, ye means me. Praise God. God no longer works through one or two individuals to deliver countries or cities. He now goes to each individual here that has been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be fully persuaded that we can speak to the mountain. We need to be fully persuaded that we can cast that mountain into the sea. Some of us have been struggling with things for years, but you need to understand that you need and have the ability and authority to speak in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's given us this commandment. Devils have to flee. Praise God. We can lay hands on the sick, the Bible says, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. We need to be persuaded that we can speak to the circumstances in our life. I cringe sometimes when I hear people say, and they tell me what's going on, and they say, well, all we can do is pray. What? No, you pray first, and then you do all that you can do. Praise God, praise God. I say, you pray first. Hallelujah. You get out the promises of God and you begin to see God's solution to your problem, and you begin to pray the circumstances that you desire. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the result that you want. Hallelujah. We need to be persuaded that God has given his church something better than they had in the Old Testament. We marvel at all the stories of the Red Sea and the Jordan River being open, of hammers that are floating and leprosy that was taken away from bodies and so on and so forth. But I need to tell you this tonight, that we live, praise God, in a better covenant with better promises. And we need to also understand that every great act of faith that we read all the way up through the resurrection was done in the Old Testament under the law. Praise God. Hebrews 8 and 6, the Bible says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also is he a mediator of a better covenant, a better agreement. An updated version for mankind, no longer under the bondage of the law that you could not follow. But now it's by grace are you saved through faith." Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Better covenant, which was established on better promises. Don't ever box yourself in thinking that because of your circumstances that you do not have the authority to speak to those circumstances. I don't care what you are facing, whether it be financial, physical, mental. God is able, if you will believe it, if you will become fully persuaded that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. And if you can get it settled between your left and your right ear, you are going to see miraculous things happen in your life. Praise God. You know, we keep asking God for things, but look what it says here in Romans 8:31. "And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" We often quote that, but look at the next verse. "He that spared not his son, but has delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also, freely give us all things?" He has freely given us all things pertaining to this life. He knows you. He understands you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the circumstances of your life. And when we become fully persuaded, God's already persuaded. He's already given the promises. Everything you need's already been requisitioned. It's just now you've got to appropriate by being fully persuaded. You say, "Well, I've tried that and it doesn't work." Well, go back to the drawing board then. You've got to be fully persuaded. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is like a seed. You need to plant the word of God in your heart until that your mind receives that the same way you've received doubts and fear and doctor's reports and all that other stuff. Listen, that's man-made answers to real problems and circumstances. And I'm not against all man-made circumstances, but I never want to limit myself to "thus saith my doctor. He saith, I'm going to die in 6 months." No, 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 no. Nonsense. "I shall not die, I shall live, saith the Lord." All things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah. He's freely given us all things. We must be persuaded that we have the authority now. Authority in this sense here is not... It's not the power, it's the authority. It's like, you know, Jason Johnson's a policeman, right? He has the authority to stop me and my car, I should stop if I'm in my right mind, because he has a gun. That authority he received was from the mayor of the city by the ordinances of that. So he has the authority or the power to stop me. Now, that's one authority, and we need to respect the Bible says all authority. But when God says it, then it's all only I have to get to the place where I'm fully persuaded that the doubt and the fear, which turns into unbelief, I no longer respond to those things, and I no longer have the fear, I no longer have the doubt. Why? Because I pound into my spirit, "Thus saith the word of God." I am fully persuaded that God's able to do above and beyond that which I ask or even think. Hallelujah. You know, we all have authority in the spirit world. At your job site, you've got people all around you. If we understood, if we ever picked up on being fully persuaded that the harvest field is white and ready for harvest, and we're there every single day, and that we have the authority to speak intercede on their behalf. You say, well, the more I pray, the harder, the nastier they get. That's good, because something's happening. Listen, those prayers never go away no matter what. As long as you're praying, as long as you're concerned, as long as you have a burden, when you become fully persuaded, I can tell you, I've seen people who I never thought would come to the Lord and praise God. And then I saw them at an altar with a bended knee, and I would never perceived in the wildest dreams that I would have ever come to a Pentecostal altar. I would have never perceived that God was going to deliver me from alcohol and drugs and a lifestyle of craziness. 38 years I was into this thing, praise God, but somebody believed, somebody cared, somebody prayed. Never give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God honors your prayer. He honors your integrity. Don't ever give up, even when you cannot see anything happening in the natural, because we're not waging a war against natural forces. We are waging a war against powers and principalities, rulers of wickedness in high places. And they're not afraid of you until you become fully persuaded, until something inside of you breaks and you realize, I'm the only link between my mother and eternal damnation. I'm the only link between this person or that person. My neighbor has no hope unless I am fully persuaded that I can intercede for them in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's already given us everything we need to do his perfect will. Paul says as he prays for the church in Ephesus, he's like pleading with them in Ephesians 1:17, that somehow we'd receive a revelation. Somehow we'd look into the will. You know, if one of you had a wealthy relative that passed away and you were pretty sure that you were part of the inheritance, what would you do? You'd be sitting there at the reading of the will, and that's your favorite uncle? You'd be kind of saying, well, I hate to see old uncle pass, but I wonder what's in it. I wonder what my inheritance is. You know, we have been given these wonderful promises, and they are designed specifically for the saints of the living God. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. This is a scripture you should memorize, and you should quote it in the morning, at noon, and at night, that you pray, God, I'm asking you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I'm asking you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Our pastor, Pastor Grant, Senior Pastor Grant, he prays every single day for wisdom. Boy, you'd never know it by talking to him. One of the wisest men I've ever met. Why is that? Because he prays for it. You see, you need to be somewhat creative when you pray. You need to pray your weaknesses out of you. You acknowledge them, and if you have fear, pray against fear. If you have lust, pray against lust. If you have things going on in your life that you don't like, pray, speak to them, and you'll see results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wants us to be enlightened, that we can see it, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He has given us this wonderful inheritance, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The things that he's given us are contingent upon how much power he has. How much power does God have? He has all power, praise God, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. The Bible already tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high place, evil powers of darkness. Jesus is above all that stuff. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Each individual member is part of his body. Like we have cells in our body, and they're all part of our body. We have many members in our body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. But this next scripture in Ephesians 2:5, when I discovered this scripture, this turned me on big time. I realized that I don't have it yet several years ago when I stumbled onto this. But when you understand this, and when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Praise God. And hath raised up together, us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are sitting in heavenly places right now. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Spirit, you are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. My friend, my father, my buddy, he's sitting right there. He said he'd give me all of my desire according to his riches and glory. He said he'd give me. He's a giving God. He wants to give you things. He wants to be like we take a natural father. A natural father in most cases wants to do good things for his children. But God Almighty, what are the limits of what God? We're already sitting in heavenly places in the spiritual realm. When the devil comes around to try to get into your head, you need to say, excuse me? You want me to come down from heavenly places and argue with you? You've got to be kidding me. When that spirit of fear comes on you because of what's been going on in your life, you say, excuse me, sorry, I'm sitting in heavenly places and I'm listening to Jesus. I'm not listening to you. Doubt, fear, all these things. He can't get up there where we're at. And it drives him nuts. In the Old Testament, when Sanballat tried to get the workers who were repairing the walls, he said, hey, boys, he said, why don't you come down? Let's talk about this. He said, obviously, you can't build this wall. So why don't you just come down and talk to me? Well, that was just the devil. He wanted to stop the progress. Many times, the devil will get you derailed by something. He wants you to stop building your wall. He wants you, that wall, my friend, is a mighty tower in that tower contains the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us the authority not only to build it, but to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I want to know if anybody here has ever been felt defeated. Did you stay there? What got you out of it? Prayer. Pray without ceasing. Don't pray based upon your circumstances. Pray because of who he is. Worship not what you're feeling or what you're experiencing in the natural. Worship and praise him because of who he is. And then you're going to experience the scripture that he said, he promised that all things will work to the good of those who love him. So what are you doing then? You're opening up an avenue for God to come in through prayer and worship, that he cannot do that if your heart's filled with fear and doubt. Don't let a double-minded man believe he can receive anything from the Lord. We used to sing the song, Roy, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Nah, 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 nah. It's there, but you have to be persuaded. You have to be persuaded that your God is a good God. You have to be persuaded that your God cannot lie. He's not like you and I. You have to be persuaded on the inside of your heart that God is not only able, but he's willing to give me the thoughts and intents of my heart if they're pure and if they're holy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God honors faith. Great faith honors God. We talk about people with great faith. One of my heroes is Lenny and Kathy Smith. Go down to Antigua and to Curacao. Built two churches from nothing. Brother Smith barely knew how to read, but what he had was a calling. He believed in his heart. He was persuaded that God has called him. and look what he's done. Was it easy? No. Do you ever think about giving up? I'm sure he had. But you know what? He's still there. He still is the father of two churches. Praise God. We all look for circumstances that are almost perfect. Those of you that feel a call, listen, you won't know what how your calling really is until you're fully persuaded, until you can't stop from going. You know, I talk to home missionaries all the time because I'm on the home missions board, you know. And I can tell you pretty much, and I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want to, you know, push them too hard. But I can tell you, if you're not called to a city, if you're not called to a ministry, the burden will leave. The devil makes sure of that. He'll make things just tough enough where you're not gonna continue because you were not fully persuaded going into this. And if he knows that, and I think he knows that because he doesn't read your mind, but he reads your lips. When you start getting discouraged, most of the time, instead of worshiping God, what do? We tell our neighbor, I don't think I'm ever going to win a soul. The devil says, you better believe that. Boy, I feel like I'm going to die. And the devil says, you know, that's cool, because that's what I was thinking too. You know, he agrees with all that stuff. You know why he agrees with it? Because he puts the thoughts into your mind. It's called the fiery darts of the wicked one. Praise God. So when you get a fiery dart that seems to discourage you, you might as well turn around and laugh and say, ha, 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 that is not of God. That is of the evil kingdom. Don't think that every thought that comes into your mind is of you. It's of either God or the things that you've got stuck into your mind. And he uses negativity against us. Praise God. Now, we must be persuaded that we have been given the authority to execute his will. That's something that we have a problem with sometimes. We believe God can do all things, don't we? We know God can do the impossible. But have you ever given the thought that God has put all that on us? That when we were called into his kingdom, he's no longer dealing with like he did with Abraham. He's dealing with individual people. He's given us all the tools we need to be successful. Look at John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I said, if you abide in me and my words, the word of God. Here we go back to the word of God. Do you study the word of God? Do you eat the word of God? Do you devour the word of God? Do you come against your circumstances with the word of God? Or do you come against it with worrying and thinking about negative things? Praise God. Look at the when you're fully persuaded, look what it says here. In my words abide, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Ask what you will. What do you want? Well, you think, well, would God really do that? Herein is my Father. God's glorified when you bear much fruit. When you have a victory. Listen, when you have a victory, that victory, you begin to testify to someone who has had the same issues that you have. And you say, guess what? You know, hey, I'm glad that you stopped and talked to me because, you know, God delivered me from this, that, and the other thing. That's your testimony, where you was and where God found you and what you're doing now. Hallelujah, that God is glorified. You shall be my disciples. Now listen to this. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that, whew, your joy might be full. I get from this that your joy is never going to be full unless you abide in him and his words abide in you. And if you're always thinking about self, if you're always concerned about what's going on in your life and never can get past that, chances are you're never going to have joy. If you do have joy, it will be dependent upon physical circumstances that do not have any bearing on the kingdom of God. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. There's enough evil to contend with today. You know what I'm saying? You can be thinking about how you're going to manage tomorrow's finances, and you'll miss an opportunity today to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. You'll miss an opportunity to worship him. You'll miss opportunity. And the commandment is clear. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Praise God. What a promise that is. Oh, hallelujah. God honors faith. Great faith honors God. Hide the promises of God in your hearts. Renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you renew your mind? How do you know it's God's perfect will? By renewing it every day in the Word. You bathe yourself with the Word of God. You worship with all of your heart. You praise Him and worship Him and pray and renew your mind that you might know what is that perfect will of God. And guess what? He said at the first part of that, be not conformed to this world. See, the world's doing exactly the opposite. If you read newspapers, it's pretty depressing. If you listen to it on the radio, it's even more depressing. And if you're unfortunate enough to be around a television, it's almost overpowering because there's absolutely nothing but negativity coming on. They don't talk about the man that took out the old person's garbage or helped someone across the street. They don't talk about anything like that. It's all blood, guts, and gore. Everything is about all the nastiness that's going on. Praise God. This doesn't happen overnight, but Paul exhorted Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. The rightly dividing it. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the woman with an issue of blood was begging for crumbs, and Jesus told her, you know, she didn't have to beg for crumbs. She had the whole loaf standing right in front of her. He was the bread of life. Praise God. We have the whole loaf. We've been asked by God to eat of Him, to devour Him, to put Him first in our life. Praise the Lord. We're no longer the cripple lying by the pool waiting for some angel to come down and trouble the water to be healed. We can come and, you know, have you ever laid hands on yourself? The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's why I don't have any hair up here. Just kidding. Many times I've spoken to things in my body and I've commanded them to be corrected because I believe that I've been given the God-given authority to lay hands on the sick and I will recover. And don't talk about your symptoms. Don't tell people how bad you feel. Talk to people about how good as the Spirit of God begins to move on you. I'm believing God's going to take everything that's in my body that's contrary and make it right. We must be persuaded that we wear His name. We are covered by His blood. It protects us. Demonic forces do not have their authority or the right to come to you unless they have permission from God. So don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them make you feel that you are under some kind of a curse or something like that. Praise God. You must be persuaded, John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask that ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. I just love that scripture because it's telling me this is God's thought for us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be full of joy. You know, if you are full of joy and you can turn to your neighbor and they're going to say to you, you know, I don't know what's going on with you, but you really seem to be exuding something, you know. And then you have an opportunity to talk to them about God. But if you're sitting there with a lemon stuck in your mouth, why would they want to come to your church? Wow, sourpusses. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized by immersion in Jesus Christ's name, please consider. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you believe that you don't have to be baptized, and I talk to a lot of people, and they tell me, well, I don't think I need to be baptized. You can't convince me that God would send me to hell because I wasn't baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Or I don't think you have to receive the Holy Ghost. Or what's this tongues business? Well, you know, you have to give them what the Word of God tells you. You know, unless a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you fully persuaded in my name you shall cast out devils? and you shall speak. I said, are you fully persuaded that you have the authority to speak to demonic forces in your neighborhood, spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness in low places? Hallelujah. In whose name? Not our name. In his name. But you've been given the power of attorney. You've been given the authority, delegated authority to conduct business in his precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands, would you please? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I believe there are people in this building tonight that need to be delivered. I believe tonight there's people in this building that are suffering. I believe that the devil has lied to some of the folks around here, and that they're not fully persuaded that God can heal their broken heart. They're not persuaded that their addictions, that they can be set free. They're not convinced that their deaf ears will hear or their blinded eyes will be open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, you know, every one of us came to God and somebody persuaded us to do something. You know, someone told us about God. Someone told us about repentance. Someone told us and someone prayed for us about our condition. And because of that, that's why those of us have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was a father, maybe it was a mother, but somebody prayed for you. Somebody called your name unto the Lord and God began to talk to you. Praise God. You know, to think that we are condemned before we're born again. I mean, totally helpless, condemned, without hope. I mean, without absolutely no hope. The only hope we have is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only hope we have, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his blood. It's by his grace. Praise God. Are you fully persuaded tonight that you can start fresh? Do you know that you're just one prayer away from being restored if you're here as a backslider? And don't think for a moment that everybody in this building hasn't backslid at one time or another. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The big issue here is not that you've been backsliding. The issue is, will you confess it to God? Will you tell God that you're sorry for your weakness? Will you tell God that you need a fresh start? Or are you going to continue to hide your sin like Achan did? Put it under your tent. Nobody will see it there. Oh, yes, somebody sees it. You'll never, ever feel really, really good about yourself until you give it all to God, until you truly, truly repent. Until you truly are broken before God. When you can understand your weakened, sinful condition. This is why the Bible says not many mighty are called. Not many affluent are called. Because you can't get to them. They are surrounded by their money, by their prestige, by their houses and all the material things that they have. But see, we're here tonight and we're just average people. And we all have the same need. We need a God. And you have to be fully persuaded that there is a God. And you have to be fully persuaded that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So who'd like to be the first? Would you stand with me? I'm just praying tonight that somebody, I don't know if we have any guests in the house tonight, but I'll say this. If you're here tonight and for some reason you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins by immersion, tonight you can leave here with not one sin on the record book. If you're here tonight and you've been a little slack in your heart and you've allowed some things to creep up, you know, because we attend church and tell everybody to praise the Lord doesn't mean we're okay with God. Because we say, praise the Lord, brother. You could be dead as an old cucumber inside of you. You could be dead like a roadkill and play the Pentecostal, how you doing, brother? Praise the Lord, man. See, God sees all. Why don't you just come clean tonight? I'm not trying to call anybody. I'm just saying, why not just leave this building totally restored? Why don't you leave this building tonight with your heart that's been broken? Have it mended again. Why don't you come and confess your sin unto God? He's understanding. If you need a healing tonight in your body, let's get it tonight. Why don't we call the pastor here in another 20 minutes? Roy, call and say, Brother Grant, you're not going to believe what happened tonight. So-and-so came up and God delivered him right on the spot. It's in the Bible. All you need to do is become fully persuaded. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you need to understand you cannot get into the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. You say, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm going to heaven. We'd like to take you with us if we could. We'd like to see you repent. What's this repentance? Why is it so difficult for people to say, I'm sorry, God, the creator of the universe. I have sinned against thee and thee alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. The altar is open. If anyone would like to come, please do. God is here tonight to meet all of your need according to his riches and glory.